Well, praise the Lord. Your Christmas shopping is over once again. And you've opened your presents. How many of you haven't? Well, sure you can. Amen. And by now you've already eaten the Christmas goose or turkey or chicken or whatever it is that you have. We had King Ranch chicken. We had Mexican food, and that's one of the things that we do to break up after the Thanksgiving turkey. We just break all matter of tradition and have fish fries and Mexican food and barbecue and whatever else we can come up with. But did you see the people up in New York? Aren't you glad you don't live there? Oh my goodness. I saw these two ladies that were having a cat fight over a pair of Air Jordan shoes. Did you see that? I mean, they were just going at it. Man, that's Christmas. Praise the Lord. Man, I tell you what, that's what it's all about. Not. We get to where we do more and more shopping online. Because by the time we drive and find what we're looking for and fight those crazy people like in New York, well, we find that it's more safe and cost effective. The best time to go Christmas shopping, of course, is January. You think you've seen sales up to now, you wait till tomorrow. And through the first of the year, whatever, you're going to see some real deals. So get your money ready and get ready for next Christmas. The thing is, you just can't buy clothes for someone for next year, usually, because you never know what size somebody will be next year. Especially kids, you know. You may have a kid, well, he's 2 now, he'll be size 3 next year. Oh, well, they may go to 4, and then, you know, you've lost your money. But this morning, I want us to think about Christmas in the simplest terms. And it's all in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus defines Christmas simply. His name is an adaptation of the Greek form of Yeshua. You see these guys on television saying Yeshua all the time. They like to say that. This name was formerly Jehoshua or Jehoshua or Joshua, which means Yahweh saves. Well, who's Yahweh? Yahweh is the name that we have in the scriptures for God Almighty. He's all powerful. He's the creator of all things. Yahweh. We get our word Jehovah from Yahweh. Jehovah is salvation. We read there in verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jehovah or Joshua, Jesus. God saves. He will save his people from their sins. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all need to be saved from our sin. So, Jesus himself said that God so loved us that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Then there's the word Christmas. I think I mentioned this a week or two ago. Christmas. The word Christ in the Bible is anointed one, or Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. The word mas is a word that is translated to make merry or to celebrate. So Christmas is a time to celebrate the coming of the Messiah who came to save us from our sin. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus said of himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Well, Brother Don, that's pretty narrow-minded. Yeah, as narrow-minded as Jesus is. Did you see the caption on the Sikh man a while ago? He said, I am a Sikh, and all religions are equal. And so that brings a dilemma. You have to decide if the man on the video was right, or the Word of God is right. I'm probably not going to get much more advice from the man who had the turban on his head, who is a Sikh. But I get lots of wonderful counseling from the Word of God, from the Almighty God, my Eternal Father, my Prince of Peace. So the cause for the celebration is Yahweh saves. The angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, we know that there's no peace on earth. When you look at the governments of the world, the monarchies of the world, and the wars and the rumors of wars on the world, but you can have peace. You can have internal peace and eternal peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. One of the questions that people ask and need to be answered is, where did I come from? Where did you come from? We say, well, I came from my mama. Well, yeah, you did. But how is it that you came for your mama, from your mama? God created your mama and your daddy. God created us in such a way that we can procreate children. And all of God's creation, all of the human beings on the earth at least, are made in the image of God with an eternal soul. You are an eternal being. You're not going to die. When your body dies, you will live eternally. The Bible says you will live if you're in Christ, if you've accepted Him as Savior and Lord, if you've bowed your knee to the throne of God and repented of your sins and received Him as your Savior and your Master and your Lord, that you will go to heaven when you die in the presence of God. And you will be with Him eternally. On the other hand, if you reject the gospel, you reject the Christ who came from heaven to earth through the Virgin Mary, and you die in this body, entering into your eternal state, you will be separated from God forever in hell. That's not a politically correct thing to say today, but it's the truth. Jesus said the truth will set you free. And that's one truth, absolutely will set you free. You receive Christ. This is the will of God for man, that you believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and are saved. The second thing I want you to see this morning is the name Jesus reveals the purpose of God in its simplest terms. Everybody's always wondering, what's God's will for my life? What am I to do with my life? Should I be a plumber or a physician? Should I be a doctor or a dog catcher? Should I be a preacher or a politician? Well, I don't know. Should I be a lawyer? Some of you should. Maybe. Should you be a mechanic? You know what I think? I don't think that's the main purpose of anybody's life. Any of those vocations are not the main purpose of your life. If your vocation is the beginning and the end of your life, you don't have a life. Because you won't always be able to do that. But you're always going to be you. One of the timeless questions that men have always asked, what am I to do with my life? And that is to find God's purpose. God's purpose is to save us from ourselves. And His method of doing that has always been the same. God knew before the world was created that you would be here on this earth in this time of history. And He knew that you needed His Son who has eternally existed with Him, coexisted with Him as the atoning sacrifice for your sins. And when the fullness of time came, the Bible says in Galatians 4 that when the fullness of time came, when everything was lined up in the history of mankind, God sent Jesus to the earth. And Jesus created all things. Look at this in John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. We're talking about God's purpose. How does He accomplish His purpose, and what does it have to do with us? In the beginning was the Word. You notice that's capitalized, is it? Yes. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. Who? All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Who is He talking about? Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist testified about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me.' For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him," or manifested Him. Who's He talking about? Jesus. When Jesus was a full-grown man, this is what John said of Him. He is the one of whom we have been waiting. He says that He is the creator of all things. He is, in essence, Yahweh, Creator God. Colossians chapter 1 tells us, "By Him all things were created, for His own purposes and His own glory they were created. And by Him all things are held together." By what? The Word of His power. And 1 John 4:14 says, "And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." You may have questioned in your mind at some point, in the midst of difficulties or circumstances, when things weren't going well, when life wasn't fair, or during a time of grief, why did God create you? May have even wished He hadn't. We can get that discouraged and that low sometime. But when we accept Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord, those thoughts begin to diminish. That before the foundation of the earth, God had you in mind. We sing a gospel song sometime. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Jesus' ultimate mission was to come and to lay down His life as sacrifice for our sins. And the Bible teaches us that those who know God, those who love God, and those who serve God, and those who obey God are those who know Him. And as a result, they have ever-increasing joy in the Lord. The Christian ought not live a life full of the doldrums. Ought to be living a life of joy, of peace, of contentment, and satisfaction. But there can be no joy and no abundant life until the creation is reconciled to the Creator by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God created us, and God saves us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So what? Now what's the purpose of my life? Now if I come to know Christ, what do I do with myself? Then you work as a plumber, a physician, a lawyer, a construction worker, a counselor, a truck driver, whatever your vocation is, you use your vocation as your financial support of your gospel ministry. Wherever God is, whatever God has you doing, whatever gifts He's given you, whatever task that you do day in and day out, Monday through Friday or Saturday or whenever you work, your task as a Christian is to serve your God. The Bible says, do all that you do as unto the Lord. So there's no time like now, thirdly, to get involved in what God is doing. What's He doing? He's doing the same thing now that He's always done. And that is, He's redeeming people from sin. He's saving people from sin. And His methodology involves Christians, those who know Him. He wants us to join Him in fulfilling His plans of saving the world from sin. That's what the video was about. The peoples of the world are yet to hear. And we have the privilege and the opportunity to be involved in His mission. And when He is doing that, when a Christian is doing that, when he's involved in what God is doing, then he finds abundant life. You'll never find abundant life in material things or experiences or relationships. You will find abundant life in God through faith in Jesus Christ, because you were created for that. When He's through doing that, when God has done all He's going to do on planet Earth, then He's going to rapture this church off of the planet. His church. All the redeemed of all the nations everywhere on planet Earth on that day are going to do as He did, and that is ascend to heaven. And it's going to happen so quick, it'll be something that those who don't know Him thought they saw. In the twinkle of an eye, His plan remains the same. That until He comes again, and He's coming again, that we, those who know Him as Savior and Lord, serve Him in gospel ministry. Somebody gave me this little quip of a poem. It's a rewrite of The Night Before Christmas. The title of this one is, 'Twas the Night Jesus Came. 'Twas the night Jesus came, and all through the house not a person was praying, not one in the house. The Bibles were left on the shelf without care, for no one thought that Jesus would come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling with or bowing their head. A mom in her rocker with baby in her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there rose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and lifted the sash, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. The light of His face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just as He said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw Him in spite of myself. In the book of life which He held in His hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as He searched for my name. When He said, "It's not here," my head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, He gathered to take to His Father above. With those who were read, He rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long, and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I'd known that this was the night. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. It's amazing to me that the announcement of the birth of Jesus came to shepherds. They didn't ask God if He was sure He knew what He was doing. Had the angel gone to theologians, they could have first consulted their commentaries. Had He gone to the elite, they would have looked around to see if anyone was watching. Had He gone to the successful, they would have first looked at their calendars. So He went to the shepherds, men who didn't have a reputation to protect or an axe to grind or a ladder to climb. Men who didn't know enough to tell God that angels don't sing to sheep and that messiahs aren't found wrapped in rags and sleeping in feed troughs.
A small cathedral outside Bethlehem marks the supposed birthplace of Jesus. Behind a high altar in the church is a cave, a little cavern lit by silver lamps. You can enter the main edifice and admire the ancient church. You can enter the quiet cave where a star embedded in the floor recognizes the birth of a king. There's one stipulation, however. You have to stoop. The door is so low, you can't go in standing up. The same is true of the Christ. You can see the world standing tall, but to witness the Savior, you have to get on your knees. So, while the theologians were sleeping, and the elite were dreaming, and the successful were snoring, the meek were kneeling. They were kneeling before the one only the meek will see. They were kneeling in front of Jesus. So my appeal to you on this Christmas morning is to bow the knee. To bow the knee before the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The name of Jesus simplifies Christmas. God saves. The name of Jesus reveals the purpose of God to redeem mankind. There's no time like now. Give your life to God and serve Him forever and ever. Would you pray with me? Lord, I'm so grateful that You came. I'm so grateful that You have given us purpose, that You've given us hope, that You've given us by Your grace the free gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sin. I'm so grateful, Lord, that You do not remember our sins anymore. That when we come to You with repentant hearts, willing to turn away from ourselves and turn away from our sin, that, Lord, You receive us as we come believing in You. We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve eternal life. But You give. And You give without restraint. So Lord, for those of us who have been saved on this Christmas morning, we say glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. But there may be some, Lord, today who've not bent their knee to the throne of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and received Him as Savior. Lord, if You're speaking to someone today, if there's an oughtness in someone's heart, if there's a burning desire, if there's a spirit of heaviness, if there's a sense that You are or calling someone to Yourself today, I pray for them that You will help them look to You, turning away from self and sin. Help them to look to You. Give them faith. By Your grace, Lord, save them. And help us, Lord, as a church, to help them as they begin their walk with You. We pray in Jesus' name. And all those people said, amen.